Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Mr. Brad Payne, Assistant Principal at Bob Jones Elementary School.
Good morning. Welcome to the start of your grad session. This is kind of intimidating. You know, you just have the cream of the crop here, all you zealous grad students. You have to understand, I'm over at the elementary school, so I bring you greetings from across the street, but I'm used to speaking to eight-year-olds. You've got them beat by a little bit. You have to also understand that usually when I'm preparing for chapel, it's the simpler the better. So I hope you don't mind. It'd be somewhat simple. Thinking about chapel this morning, it was interesting. It's one of those situations that sometimes can be a speaker's nightmare. I had spent the weekend preparing something, and then this morning, Lord just impressed upon my heart a different direction, so everything changed completely. But years ago, the university used to have a motto called BJ Cares. I don't know if any of you remember that. I know up in my attic, I still have shirts from when I worked day camp. And on the sleeve, it said BJ Cares. And I want to take that word, cares, and make out of it an acronym this morning, just something very simple to challenge all of us about being the kind of Christian that really makes a difference. And what I'd like to challenge you with is to just sort of put your name on a blank, whatever your name is. Brad, it's mine, cares. Do I really? And then take the letters of that word, and I want to look at five things this morning about being the kind of Christian who really makes a difference in other people's lives, who really has an impact for the cause of Christ. The C, have compassion. Have compassion. I trust I wouldn't need so much to overemphasize this with you who are graduate students. Many of you are out in ministry, but we need to care about people. I have to remind myself this all the time, because being in administration, it's so easy sometimes to get caught up in schedules. It's so easy to get caught up in paperwork. And we have to remind ourselves that it's not the papers that matter, it's people that matter. We need to be people who have pity on others, who show mercy to others, who genuinely care about people. Our compassion ought to motivate us to take action. And we can't allow ourselves to ever become like those described in James, where it says, you know, you say to people, well, just be warmed and filled. But we don't ever provide them the clothing they need in order to be warmed. We don't ever provide them the food they need in order to be filled. We just say, be warmed and filled. We don't ever want to be like those that are described in Proverbs as, you know, you say to your neighbor, go and come again. But the truth is, you have it by you at that time. You just don't give it to them. You stop and think in Matthew chapter 9, talking about Christ. It says that in verse 36 of Matthew 9, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Also in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, it says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and healed their sick. In chapter 15, verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Matthew 20, verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. And Mark 1 and 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And that's just five examples, but in every example what you see is Christ moved with compassion. He cared about people, and his care for them prompted him to do something. He fed them. He healed them. He met their needs. And the challenge for us, if we're going to be the kind of Christians that really make a difference in people's lives, that really have an impact for the cause of Christ, is we care about people, and we care about them to the point where we are willing to do whatever we can to meet whatever the needs are that they have. It's just so easy sometimes to say, you know, you see somebody has a problem, you go up and you want to interact with them, and you want to find out what their problem is, and you say, you know, well, I'll pray for you. Do we even do that? So often we depart from that person and we go about our day and we get caught up in other things, and the end of the day comes, you say, you know, I told that person I'd pray for them about that situation. Did I ever even do it? There is probably something that we could do at that time, but you know how it is in the back of our minds. We think, you know, I should do this. but I've got this to do or I've got that to do. We have to ask ourselves, are those other things that we're telling ourselves, I've got to do this or I've got to do that, are they really more important than this person's need right now? And if we want to be the kind of people that really make a difference in other people's lives, sometimes it means we set aside those other things and say, right now, this person has a need. God's given me the ability to do something to help meet that need, and I'm going to put these other things aside, I'm going to put these other things on hold, because if I'm going to be the kind of person that's going to make a difference, I have to be the kind of person that has compassion, and such a compassion that prompts me to take action when I can. That's the C. The A, to get actively involved. You know, Christianity, it's not a spectator sport. You talk to pastors, and I dare say that a great many of them would tell you one of the greatest sources of frustration is the fact that you have a church full of people, most of whom are content to watch a small number do all the work. You know, we just don't get actively involved. We need to do whatever it is that God has called us and equipped us to do, rather than watch as others do the work. In Nehemiah, the wall got built because the people had a mind to work. But I dare say there were probably those in Jerusalem who benefited from having that wall built but didn't do it. The people who really got the full benefit were the ones who laid aside whatever it was they felt was so important, and they grabbed mortar and they grabbed brick and they said, okay, we're here to work. This is something I can do. You know, God's given all of us something to do. We're all a part of the body of Christ. And as such, we have something to do in that body to make sure it functions properly. Dr. Bob Sr. used to say, you know, that real success in life was finding the will of God and doing it. But so often, we just sit back. You know, we plateau as Christians. You know, we reach a certain level, and we say, okay, I'm comfortable here. I'm not going to push myself anymore. I'm not going to do anymore. And yet there's so much we can do. There's so much more that could be done. There are churches that could see so much more accomplished if more of the people in that church said, you know, I'm a part of this body. God's given me something to do in this body. I want to find out what it is I'm supposed to do, and I want to do it with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I want to throw myself into this. You know, one of the greatest rebukes I had when I first started teaching at junior high was one time we had junior high chapel. The song leader was leading some particular little chorus, some thing that was done sort of as a round or whatever, and I didn't even know it. I never heard it before. And all of a sudden, he, you know, called on me to come up and said, I'll take this part, you take that part. It's like, well, this is going to be fun. And you know how it is. I gave in to the temptation of my flesh. I didn't want to go up there and make a fool of myself. I didn't really even know the song, so I just kind of half-heartedly went about it and hoped I could just get through it and it would be all done. The sad thing was, our chapel speaker that day was Dr. Fremont. And he got up, and before he even started chapel, he let me have it. About, if you're going to do something, do it heartily. Throw yourself into it. And I never forgot that. It's one of those things, you know, when you as a teacher get rebuked in front of your junior high students, who, needless to say, had fun with that, provided them a certain amount of ammunition that lasted for a few weeks. You know, but when that happens, you remember it. And you think, you know, that's the way it is. In the cause of Christ, if we're going to do something for the cause of Christ, we need to throw ourselves into it. That passage about being actively involved in the cause of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, many of you are very familiar with this passage, starting in verse 11, but all these work at that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. That's our role. That's our job. Let me challenge you. Whatever it is you can do, you may say, well, I just don't have the gifts and talents that somebody else has. I don't have their skills. I don't have their abilities. You've got something. The Spirit of God has distributed severally to all, to every member. To every one of us is given grace according to the measure of faith. You've got something you can do. Find out what it is and throw yourself into it. Throw yourself into it wholeheartedly. The R. We need to be resolute. It means we need to be firm. We need to be determined. We need to be unwavering. We need to be committed to the cause and work of Christ. We can't be as those that Christ described in Luke 9, as those who put their hands to the plow and looking back, who are not fit for the kingdom of God. Yes, it gets tough. Yes, it gets difficult. We need to keep on keeping on. We need to be steadfast, as 1 Corinthians 15:58 says. We need to be unmovable. We need to be those, as the Apostle Paul described of himself in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, are we pressing toward the mark? Do we have that goal of being like Christ, of hearing Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? And are we pressing toward it? You know, the idea of pressing toward that mark is you just keep on keeping on. Yes, it's going to be difficult. Yes, there are going to be obstacles in the way at times. Yes, you're going to face discouragement. Yes, you're going to face fatigue. Yes, you're going to face detractors. But are you resolved that this is what I am going to do? I have committed myself to the service of Christ, and it doesn't matter what the discouragements are that come. And yes, they will come. It doesn't matter how tired I may get. It doesn't matter what others may say, how they may try to discourage me and defeat me and put me down. I've committed myself to this task. Will not be deterred. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." But you don't quit. You stand fast. You know what it is you have to do, and you just keep on doing it. Philippians 4:1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Acts 20, verse 24, the Apostle Paul said, "None of these things move me." Yes, there's a lot out there that could move me. There's a lot out there that could sway me. There's a lot out there that could try to get me to give up my commitment, to get me to go an easier path, to go a different direction. But he said, "You know what? None of those things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." None of these things move me. Why? Because I have a course that God's given me, and I'm going to finish that course, and I want to finish that course with joy. And I know that if I let these things move me, if I let myself get distracted, if I let myself wander, if I let myself quit and give up, there will be no finishing of the course. There will be no joy at the end. But I want to finish this course. I want to be able to cross that line. I want to be able, as the Apostle Paul, to say when it comes to the end, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. Now it's time to go home." Got to be resolute. You know, so many times in Christianity, so much starts out so well, and then it just dies. Something happens. Something goes wrong. We need to pray that by the grace of God, we will remain firm. We will remain committed. If we're going to be the kind of Christians that make a difference, we have to have that compassion that reaches out to people and meets their needs. We've got to be actively involved. We've got to find out what God wants us to do and throw ourselves into it. And we've got to be committed that no matter what, no matter what the response is, because you can find out what it is God wants you to do and you can throw yourself into it, and you'll find out that not everybody's going to love you for doing that. But it doesn't matter. because I'm not doing it so that they love me for doing it. I'm doing it because it's what God called me to do. The E is to be enthusiastic. Many years ago, I remember Dr. Bob Third had a theme verse for the year from Galatians chapter 4, verse 18, but it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. We need to be zealously affected. We need to be passionate about what we do. We need to have a passion for Thee. As the songwriter said, O Lord, put a fire in my soul and a thirst for my God. Passionate about what we do in the work of the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. You know, I've worked with young people ever since I graduated from university, long, long time ago. One of the challenges is, why don't you see more young people growing up in good churches, going to good Christian schools? Why don't we see more of them pursuing Christian service? Why don't we see more of them wanting to be Christian school teachers? Why don't we see more of them wanting to be pastors and youth pastors and evangelists and missionaries and camp directors? Why don't we see more of them wanting to throw themselves into the Christian life? And I'm sure that there are a host of reasons. And I'm sure somebody could, you know, do the research and explore those possibilities. But just from my own experience and what I've seen, I think sometimes one of the factors that plays in is that those young people grow up in those Christian environments. They grow up in that good Christian church. They grow up in that good Christian school. And they see those who are already involved in that Christian work, and they watch them. And unfortunately, those who are involved in that work often speak and live in such a way that they emphasize how hard the work is. They emphasize the burdens that be upon them. They emphasize the sacrifices they're having to make. They emphasize the trials and the tribulations that they face along the way. Then they wonder why the kids don't want to do it. It's like, wow, you're making this sound really, really appealing. You know, in other words, if I grow up someday and take your job, I'm not going to get paid anything. Nobody's going to like me. I'm going to have all these burdens. Life's going to be sacrificed. I'll have to live in a cardboard box under a bridge. But, you know, bless God, that's what it is to serve the Lord. Well, hey, get my cardboard box ready. I'm ready to go. It's no wonder they don't want to do it. You know, how often do we really reflect that the joy of the Lord is our strength? You know, how often do we really have the attitude of the Apostle Paul, who was in prison in Philippi, and at midnight he sang praises to God? You know, we sing that song, there is joy in serving Jesus. But sometimes if you were to ask the children who watch our lives, they'd say, well, you could have fooled me. You sing that song, there's joy in serving Jesus, but I'm watching you serve Jesus, and I don't see a whole lot of joy there. Where's that joy in serving Jesus? Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when everything's going exactly the way you want it to go. And I've been involved in the pre-college ministry here at the university ever since I graduated. And I know, you know, as a teacher, sometimes you prepare this fantastic lesson plan only to have it fall apart in the first 5 minutes of class. And it's kind of hard to rejoice in the Lord all day. You worked so hard on that, and it didn't work. But it doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when everything's going right. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, just in case you didn't get it the first time, rejoice. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. I sometimes wonder, you know, how often do we get so caught up in what it is that our God has called us to do, whether we're serving as Christian school teachers or Christian administrators or pastors or youth pastors or in some capacity in Christian way. How often do we exhibit in our lives by what we talk about and how we live? How often do we really exhibit that underneath it all, yes, there are those difficulties. Yes, we get discouraged and we get tired and we get frustrated. But underneath it all, there is that joy unspeakable and full of glory. That joy of the Lord is indeed our strength. How often do we catch ourselves having to backpedal and you say, you know, look at those students and say, you know, that wasn't the right response. Because that might lead you to not believe that I don't enjoy what I'm doing. But I do enjoy what I'm doing because it's what God's given me to do. And there can be no greater joy than doing what it is that God's given me to do. And lastly, the S. We need to be selfless. one of the greatest truths that we can communicate to the younger generation, the next generation of Christians, is that life is not about me. I work hard at the elementary school trying to communicate that to a lot of the students. They come into my office for discipline. I say, you know why you're in trouble? Part of the reason you're in trouble is because you're living for life is about you. It's not going the way you want it to go, and you want it to go the way you want it to do, and you're going to do what you want to do. But you know what? Life isn't about you. Life is not about me. As followers of Christ, we sacrifice ourselves for Him. Life is about knowing Him. It's about loving Him. It's about living so as to serve and glorify Him. We are complete in Him, but only in Him. He is the one who is all in all. Christ said in Matthew 16:24 that if we're going to be His disciples, we have to come after Him, and the first thing we're going to have to do is deny ourselves. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If you've truly presented your body a living sacrifice, then life isn't about you anymore because you've sacrificed you. Life is about the one for whom you've sacrificed yourself. Philippians 2:5-8, Christ gave us that example. It says, let this mind be in you. We need to have this attitude. We need to have this outlook on life. This outlook on life that was the outlook of Christ Himself, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You have to wonder sometimes how much the work of Christ could be impacted if more Christians were willing to empty themselves of themselves. If it didn't really matter who got the credit. If it didn't really matter who got recognized. If all that mattered was getting the work of Christ done, advancing the cause of Christ, seeing people grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, seeing souls saved. If all that mattered was lifting high the cross of Christ and exalting Christ, And we didn't really matter. If somehow we could empty ourselves of ourselves and extract ourselves in the picture and say, Lord, I don't really matter. All that matters is You. What could happen to the cause of Christ? But so often you see it happen in churches. These squabbles break out and fights take place and there's hurt feelings because somebody did something and somebody else got the credit for it. And nobody patted me on the back for doing it. Well, you know, I couldn't really pat you on the back because your back was on the altar because you had presented yourself a living sacrifice. So, can really pat you. You challenge all of us, and I challenge myself, and I have this for me in my office since the Lord just impressed this upon my heart, to get back to that idea, that little motto of BJ Cares, and put this on my desk in my office and say, you know, Brad cares. And do I really care? And then looking at each one of these letters, and I remind myself, Brad, if you're going to be the kind of Christian who really makes a difference, if you're going to have a real impact over here at the elementary school, you've got to have compassion. The kind of compassion that gets you out from behind this desk and out of this office and out into the halls and interacting with the teachers and the students and doing whatever you can do to meet the needs that they have because your compassion motivates you to do something. You've got to be actively involved. Don't just sit back and let other people do the work that God's given you to do. Get out there and do it. You got to be resolute, be firm, be steadfast, no matter what. No matter whether the day is going well or the day is going poorly, stick to the stuff. Be enthusiastic. Let those children see that serving Christ, getting involved in the work of the Lord is the greatest thing anybody can do. Make them see that it looks like you are having such a great time doing what it is you do that they want to do what you do because it looks like you're having such a great time doing it. And then be selfless. Just give up yourself, and it doesn't really matter whether anybody recognizes you, whether anybody credits you. All that matters is that we are serving and glorifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's my challenge for all of us this morning. May we be Christians, that it can be said of us that we care.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. Brad Payne, assistant principal at Bob Jones Elementary School. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.